Hope you had a great break. Windows Azure loves IT professionals. We're here teaching you away. I'm David.
And I'm David.
And we are here to teach you about Windows Azure.
Yes.
So now we're getting into building, right? And
yeah.
We have this thing called Active Directory. Some of you might have heard of that. And there's probably some reasons why you might want to run Active Directory on Windows Azure.
Pretty much every workload we're going to talk about needs it.
You mean you need authentication?
What?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Well, to break this into two parts, this is going to be a short module. Why should we even care about it more specifically? And then secondly, what are some architecture options that you might have as you think about Azure and Windows Azure AD? First off, there's some confusion out there that I want to clear up with this. A little history behind Active Directory and Windows Azure Active Directory. All right, you've got this user, right? This guy, back in the day when we had this thing called BPOS, or Business Productivity Online Suite, we realized that there's people that probably want to use this cloud service, which is now Office 365, and they need to authenticate their users, and they might not necessarily have a directory that they want to use on-premise to synchronize, but we still need to authenticate them. So what do we do here, right? And in this case, effectively, right, this guy is going to connect to Office 365. What do we do? Well, we created this thing, as we now call Windows Azure Active Directory. And that would enable this guy to, without anything dependencies, to authenticate into a directory service, right, to log into the service. We took all of our many, many years of knowledge on Active Directory and put that into effectively a cloud service, because a cloud service has different kinds of properties, things that an on-premise directory doesn't necessarily have. But I know, like many of you, you have an on-premise Active Directory and you probably want people to authenticate up to those cloud services so that you don't have to have multiple logins, usernames, and passwords. What do you do about that, right? Well, there are a lot of different synchronization options, and we're going to break that down for you in the next module. But for now, I just want you to understand the differences of the two. In this particular module, we're going to be covering Active Directory. As you see here, Windows Azure Active Directory also is good if you have your own application. There's a lot of things, Office 365, here we list CRM Online, Windows Intune, but as a developer, you could also write your own applications that synchronize with ACS, and ACS could then potentially authenticate to Windows Azure AD, right? Or in different kinds of ways of that.
Yeah.
But the point being here, to clarify, running Active Directory on a virtual machine inside of Windows Azure is not the same thing as Windows Azure Active Directory. Those are two different deals, right? And there's sometimes confusion around that, and hopefully this makes things a little bit clearer. In this module, we're going to be covering running Active Directory on a VM in Windows Azure. Okay. Next up, what are some reasons why you might want to run Active Directory on a VM in Windows Azure? You've got this corporate site, happens to be in Las Vegas, and you have this data center. Well, the first thing you might have, right, is some applications up there. You've got a cloud service, you've got SharePoint, maybe remote desktop services up there, and you need to have those applications be able to work in the event that perhaps the big red X of death comes down upon your VPN tunnel. Right? And now all of a sudden you've got these services that are in the cloud that are running and they need to still have authentication. Well, that's where having a DC up in Windows Azure would become handy, right? You don't care about that. Well, what's another scenario? What about disaster recovery? Well, let's say that you have that site up there in Windows Azure. And now, an even bigger red X of death comes down upon your entire site.
Oh,
but no. Yeah, it blows up your whole site. And now what, right? People can't authenticate locally. Maybe your rack of servers just totally went down. Power went out. A disaster blew up your site. Whatever. And, well, a couple different things. One, you could possibly still have access to the DC through your own tunnel. You could open up even right another tunnel. You could have another site up here. This is maybe your DR site up here. I'm writing with a mouse, so it looks pretty sloppy.
Don't tell everyone you're writing with a mouse. That's his real handwriting.
So you've got this guy, right? You could have this, oh, we're going to draw a little guy up here, right? There we go. And this guy, right, could now authenticate possibly from a different site, right? Because they've, you know, floods hit, they're moving somewhere else. They now can authenticate. You've got an up-to-date copy of your database. That's another scenario. Additionally, right, if you still have those applications up there, you might need to authenticate to those. That could happen over the internet, right? You could open up ports to your public website, and if your public website uses the AD auth, you still have access to that even if your entire site goes down. These are some different reasons why you might want to run AD in a VM in Windows Azure. Okay. Now the question is, what do we do to... what are the options to architect that? What does that look like more practically up in Windows Azure? There's a few different options. And this particular option, you really are not putting a domain controller in Windows Azure, but you're simply enabling that VPN tunnel from your on-premise site, which does have Active Directory, up into Windows Azure. Now, this option, right, I mean, this is... generally probably not something you're going to do unless it's a very, very, you know, minimal impact across the WAN. And, I mean, there's really a kind of a niche case, I suppose, here. But for the all intents and purposes, right, you probably aren't going to want to do this because you're dependent upon the VPN connection, and there's also the delay of connecting over the wire and all those things. Kind of the same reason if you had a separate branch office, right? You probably, in that branch office, depending on the situation, you may or may not want to put a DC in there. Same kind of consideration goes here.
And unless you've got a super fast network connection, then you know, you're going to have latency to deal with as well. Machines trying to read the directory from the cloud and having to go all the way back through the wire to on-premises AD, you know, that's going to take time. And also, we charge you for outbound bandwidth, right? So you kind of want to try and mitigate against that.
Right, right. You want to minimalize that and have the best performance up there. Maybe not. Yeah, it depends on your situation.
I like our
stock
price going up, so, you know.
there you go. Well, let's move on to the next options that we have in the list, okay, shall we? The next one that we have is running Active Directory in Azure only. And the key thing to point out here is the fact that there are two totally different domain names, right? See here you have Contoso, and over here you have Fabricom, in which case you're really just running an entire domain. You're running an entire domain only in Windows Azure, right? And in which case, you may have a site-to-site VPN tunnel, but really you don't need it necessarily for the authentication piece. You're really just, you have a tunnel for whatever other reason. But AD is just a standalone domain controller by itself in that site, right? Nothing too fancy about that. The last option, which I think probably a lot of folks are interested in, which is what we kind of touched on the scenarios at the start, is that you have an on-premise domain controller and you need to extend that authentication up into Windows Azure. Right, you want people to authenticate using their corporate credentials in the VMs and things like that are up in Windows Azure itself. And this is the scenario that I'm going to demo for you here in just a second. But this makes a lot of sense, right? Because you know you have some service that's up there, needs to have authentication. You're going to have a local domain controller so that all of those VMs up there can log in and authenticate.
Is it really a scenario though where in production, we wouldn't have one on either side? I mean, you know, you could put your domain controllers in the cloud and come back on premises or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you're going to want to control and mitigate against that connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that there's a scenario other than perhaps building demos.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a lot of demos, we just kind of have the domain controller in Windows Azure. In fact, sometimes we have the domain controller in Windows Azure, and we pretend it's there's a one on premises, and we don't, because we have a lot of VPN connections that have nothing on the other side of them. But I think for most cases, when you're in production, you're going to have the domain controller on both sides of the connection. I think David summed it up earlier. It's just like setting up a branch office. So you're going to need that kind of local presence to make sure everything is performant, and also just deal with, you know, outages and that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, just like, you know, you would have an outage potentially with a WAN network link on a branch office. You might have an outage in the VPN connection, and so you still want those users in that branch office to be able to connect. Same kind of scenario with Windows Azure, right? Okay, one other thing I want to cover, and then we'll get into making this real for you in Windows Azure. Let's go to the last slide here. And this just talks about the cloud services and how you might want to do things, right? It sometimes, you know, you may have read stuff in the past that says you have to have a separate cloud service for Active Directory. That isn't the case. Although you might, there is a situation where you might want to do that. And remember I mentioned to you earlier where the first time you spin up a VM inside that subnet, it gets that IP address. And if you want there to be no issues or no doubts at all, if you are happen to be tearing down and spinning up environments, that particular VM gets that IP address when it first comes up, then that could be a reason why you might want to have a separate cloud service for your domain controllers.
Yeah.
But there's really no reason why you need to do that. And like I mentioned, there is a long lease time. So as long as you're not, ideally, and you probably don't want to do this, as long as you're not deleting the VM for your DC and bringing it back online, right, then that machine should always have that same IP address, right? There should be no reason why it would ever change.
Yeah.
And that's something that's a little weird for IT guys, because they're like, oh my gosh, it's DHCP. Ah, and even like, you know, when you go through the wizard, it'll say, oh, warning, it's DHCP. But it's a pseudo DHCP because it's got such a long lease.
And
right?
Usually I want to run my own DHCP server. Like, I know how to do that. And even at home, I run my own DHCP server. I know. And you all probably do that too. But in Windows Azure, you lose a little bit of this control, because we're providing the DHCP server, and that makes people nervous because they want to spin up a DHCP server in Windows Azure. And of course, we have to protect against rogue DHCP servers in Windows Azure, so we kind of don't let that work. Equally, putting static IP addresses on machines, not a good idea there either. You'll sharp lose connectivity to those machines as well. So just a couple of good tips for you there.
Okay. Let's go back to my demo slide, because there is a couple resources there I want to highlight. And then we'll go into my demo of getting this done. The first link up there is really good for if you have questions specific to all of the nitty-gritty details of what about XYZ on running a DC on Windows Azure. We'll talk about many of those points as I go through the demo. But also, if you want to know how to do this hands-on, or you want to step out and do a hands-on lab with this, you can follow the HOLs that are there. And for those of you who are fancy, can deploy a domain controller entirely using PowerShell. That's something I wanted to make sure you're aware of here before I dive in. Okay, well, let's go back to the scenario here of I have a domain controller that I need to deploy, right? So remember earlier we deployed this David VNet over here. And, okay, there...
Oh, that's mine.
Okay, so let's wait till we get the right machine up again. Maybe I need to close...
Good job, I wasn't
the,
playing...
Let me end the slideshow so that...
Minesweeper there, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're safe. I know you're an avid minesweeping player, but, you know, that's... You're covered.
I'm covered.
No, you were caught doing PowerShell.
I was caught doing PowerShell. Yeah, isn't that horrible?
That's... Okay, yeah.
Caught.
You're safe now. All right. Well, okay, let's go into the console. And we had this VNet. Well, we deployed that David VM there. And at this point, and this is something that you want to think about early on, because when I look at this VNet and I go to configure it, right? If I try and check this, I can't because I've already deployed a VM to it. Now, if you get into this situation where you've set up a virtual network and you haven't gone to connect the site to site before you've deployed a VM, that's no problem. You just need to, you know, delete the VM and that are all the VMs in there and bring it back up. But ideally, if you're planning, right, you're planning, you would set up that virtual network and you would connect the site to site VPN first. And once you do that, I'll give you kind of a sample a VPN connection where I've gone back into configure and I've checked the box to say, hey, connect to the local network for this site-to-site connectivity. And you'll notice here you've got this local network. This is a really important one to highlight as you plan for Active Directory and the connectivity, right? Because this local network, that is how Windows Azure knows where to route things, yeah, right? Back to your on-premise. So if you go into, and it's not quite intuitive, because when you're within the VNet, you're like, okay, what is Office 40 on-prem, right? You have to go back to the top here and then go into the local network section. And here you can see, you know, right, this in this particular VNet's case, I have Office 40 on-prem. If I wanted, and I've, you know, let's say my networks have changed on-premise, I could go into edit this and then choose additional IP address ranges for Azure to know that, hey, that's something I need to connect back to when I establish my VPN. Once you have that VPN in place, it will look... actually, let me take one step back. If we look at... Once you check that box, right, what it will look like is this. Okay? You're going to have this... you're going to have this gateway, or you're going to first have this option. You're going to say choose to add a gateway, and what that'll do is it'll take some time, but then you'll have this public IP address for you to be able to connect up to. And this is so that you can configure your VPN tunnel to be connected, right? And in this case, it's not connected because I've done nothing with this other than check the box and enable the gateway. After that, you'll notice there's this option to download the VPN device script. This makes things a little bit easier if you don't want to have to manually go and type in all of the VPN settings for
and if you actually have the right device.
Right. Right. So if you go to this list, right, we have a number of different things. Juniper or Cisco, Microsoft. Microsoft is for the RRAS, right?
Yeah.
Cisco, you've got a number of different devices here. This will help you out, but it's not necessary, right? It's just more of a to get you quicker along the path.
And if you have the wrong version of the firmware and you try and run the script, I can just tell you now, it doesn't work.
Okay. Save you the suspense. it's obviously there's no way we could test for every device all the time with all of the updates, but it at least gets you going in the right direction nonetheless. When you are done connecting, you'll have a network that looks something like this. With this dashboard here, you can see that we'll have a connection that shows up for the site-to-site was enabled. In this case here, you can see all of my different VMs that are there, and you can see that the gateway is connected to this IP address. That's really what you want to set up first, right? And there's documentation on there more specifically how to do that. But really, that's the basic steps, right? I mean, the only thing I'm leaving out is configuring the Cisco device or whatever other VPN device you have. You know, after that, the tunnel comes up, and now you've got a site-to-site connection working. That's kind of your first step, right, for this scenario that we're talking about with Active Directory. And so I'm going to go back to my David VNet I had earlier. And remember, I had this David VM. Well, this David VM is now, you know, on this virtual network. Let's just assume that it's connected back to our corporate network. And what we'll do is log into this machine. And I've spared you the suspense of installing the role of Active Directory because click, 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 and now the role is installed. There we go, right?
We could have 10 minutes of awkward silence while...
That could be exciting, but, you know, but, I mean, because we do have David and David, we can entertain.
And we are live.
That's right, we are live.
So we can edit stuff out.
There we go, that's right. Okay, so we've got the role installed, right? But here's the one, here's the, if you think you're super, getting going with your Azure, and, oh, I know DCs, and I'm just going to connect up, install the role, and then I'm good, right? Important tip, all right? There's this thing, issue with caching, right, in Active Directory. So you kind of need to install another disk. And we'll explain this here more in a second. But let's go in, just for the sake of the GUI here, we'll keep on with that. And let's go into my David VM and let's attach a disk. So if I go into attach, an empty disk, and I'm going to call this David VM dash, let's just call it NTDS, and you'll see why that makes sense in a minute. And then the host cache is none, all right? And remember, I kind of hinted at this earlier. By default, your OS disk has caching enabled. So the Active Directory database, if you just go through and forgot about this step, and as you went through it, what would happen is potentially you could corrupt your Active Directory. Now, will it work? Sure. You can go through AD and spin up a DC. But what you really don't want, what you really do not want, right, is the scenario where, hey, I've got this great service and you get it all up and running, you got your DC up there, and you've got all your services running, and you're like, awesome, we're good to go. And then all of a sudden, because you forgot this step of the data disk, the Active Directory database gets corrupted.
Yeah, and that would be bad, I'm guessing.
It's that, like, that would probably
like
be not good.
Streams, right?
Right, yeah. So you might have, like, let's say, corruption or object corruption inside your Active Directory database. And being my roots in Active Directory, that is not a fun task to go try and find orphaned objects or objects that are corrupted. That can cause all kinds of weird issues, and yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
so
I've heard it's like crossing the streams and the world will end as we know it.
So. I don't know about the world ending, but definitely not a fun scenario.
No.
Yeah. All right, well, let's keep going. All right, so we got the data disk on there, and let's go into the David VM, and the, you know,
I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to be like, I'm a VM.
You're a VM. Well, we're both VMs, right? We've got the David Affinity Network and the David Virtual Network, right? Because we're on the David Cloud Service.
People are going to say VM and I'm going to go, what?
Huh? What's that? Is it a David?
No, answer it. It's my name now.
It's David. David VM.
David VM.
What's your first name? David. VM.
VM.
Okay. Anyway, we digress. All right. So here, you know, just like if you were to pop in a disk to one of your servers, we see that we've added a disk there, a 10 gig disk we just attached earlier. Of course, first I need to initialize the disk just like anything else. And then from there, we're going to go in, create a new simple volume, click next through this wizard. And again, you've got the option of F drive letter, which we'll just pick as the default. We'll label this NTDS, and that'll make more sense in a minute. We'll click Next, Finish. And right now, it's going to create a new disk drive, format that, and we've got additional storage now for our VM, right? So while that's going, while that's firing up, I'm going to kick off the configuration of promoting this server to a domain controller. This is important to go through just for one main reason. There's one big step in here that you need to find out. In this case, I'll just say David is awesome.
Thank you.
.com. That's a good root domain name for us to all have, right? And then, you know, we'll just choose our password. Okay, domain force functional level. DNS options, whatever, right? This is not really anything new than what you're used to. David is awesome is our NetBIOS domain name as well. Woo! All right, and here is where the key thing is that you need to know. Because if you just whip through this wizard, you might miss the path part. And this is where it really is important, right? So if you go here, by default, it's going to be C drive. Instead, I think by now we should have had our volume up. Oh, there we go. We have our NTDS F volume. And at this point, you know, we're going to choose F for all of these. Okay. Now, we're going to choose F. And then one other thing, which after we click through this, right, so now it's going to, all the database files are going to go to the right drive. We're going to click install. Again, hey, we can't find, you know, the DHCP, fine, no worries. There's all these warnings are not a problem. We'll click OK. Now I'm gonna backtrack while that's running, and I'm gonna state one other thing that you need to do. And this really should have been done after your virtual network setup. Okay. Ooh. But Because I want to time optimize our experience here, right? I'm going to go backwards in time and say, oh, my virtual network has just been created. Well, what do you do when you spin up a new branch site in Active Directory? Come on now.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, oh come gosh. On now.
DNS.
DNS. Yeah, you don't know.
Get coffee.
I'll get some coffee, go somewhere. Yeah, well, you know, for those of you who are not Active Directory inclined, or not Active Directory challenged.
I keep glossing over that.
Yeah, yeah. What you're probably going to want to do is go to Active Directory Sites and Services. Haha, how about that, right? So in that case, what you're going to do is set up a new site for Windows Azure Active Directory. In this case, we'll just choose New Site. We'll call it, of course, David Azure Site, because that's pretty awesome, right? And then we'll click OK, and we've got a new site. And then, of course, we're going to specify our new subnets. In the cloud, remember, we have 10.0.10.0/24 is the subnet that we have. And that's going to be associated with the David Azure site. Now, in this case, of course, you probably aren't going to have default for site name. You're going to have your whole Active Directory structure, that whole deal, yep. right? But this is just to make sure you think of that. And it's also to highlight the fact that, you know, Windows Azure Active Directory Active Directory in Windows Azure is not some rocket science. It's not really much different than you just setting up a new site in Active Directory as if you had a separate branch office, right? We are helping you extend your data center into the cloud, right?
So what is setting a site, for the uninitiated like myself,
yes. mm-hmm.
what does setting up a site enable me to do?
Yeah, yeah, well, okay, so let's say that you just accidentally forgot to do this whole site thing. Well, what could happen is that whatever services you're trying to authenticate to, they might not optimally choose their local authentication source, right? You also might have additional replication traffic over your VPN network that is completely unnecessary.
So creating a site essentially lets your servers in Windows Azure know that they belong in this site and they should go and look for resources in this site first.
That's right.
For domain controllers and all that kind of thing.
That's right.
I get it now.
That's right. That's right. So another big step, not just I've got a new site, but it could have a big impact on things not working very well if you don't do that step, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, let's go back and just see if this guy's done, but I think it probably is. And really, you know, we noticed that it rebooted, so that means it's probably all done. And after it comes up, right, you've got a now domain controller inside of Windows Azure, and, you know, you're all set to go. That's really it, right? I mean, I think that's the
pretty,
main thing.
Pretty painless, really, right?
I mean,
we set up a virtual machine, connected into the virtual network. We make sure we have a site defined, and then we just run DC promo, next, except.
Except the path. Remember that one.
Remember the path.
To set up the site.
Remember the path and don't cross the streams.
wait a minute.
That's a different
wait
thing.
A minute.
And then you're good to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. You
awesome.
Know?
What about DNS?
Again, DNS.
I keep saying DNS, don't
DNS.
I?
DNS. Well, DNS, you know, that's partly when you go through the wizard nowadays with Active Directory, it's going to do a lot of those things for you as long as you have the sites defined properly. So if you set those sites defined properly, Windows Azure will Active Directory will automatically know it's in this new site and it will configure the appropriate DNS records there. One other thing I do want to point out is if you go to create that first VM in there, before you have anything up on that site. So for instance, you create a new VM and you've set a DNS server in that virtual network, and you fire up the VM and you're like, oh, it doesn't have internet access. What gives?
It's because it's trying to resolve
that's because,
its
That's
DNS
because it's trying VMs. To get its yeah. DNS to itself, potentially, or to a DNS site that you don't even have. So that's another important tip to point out also, because if you're going cross-site, right, what you're going to want to do is go into, and I'll, if you want to snap to me here on the demo screen, on your virtual network, right? Let's say, like for instance, my one that's already working here that is configured well. I've got here. This is a real production deal that I have, and you'll notice that I've got two the Azure DCs named accordingly, right? But then I also have a domain controller on my on-premise listed here. So when you first do that DC promo across site, and unlike what I did, which is just a brand new forest and a new domain controller, you're going to want to make sure that DNS is pointed to your on-premise DNS server and AD server so that it can find the appropriate domain and replicate and all that stuff, right? So that's another tip that you want to make sure of. With that, I think we've wrapped up this module. And with that, stay tuned for just a second here, and we're going to come back with federating and or synchronizing Active Directory to Windows Azure Active Directory in about 5 minutes or so.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.